Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 145. I'm Danielle.
I'm Max. I don't know why I expected you to do a Scottish accent. That's
you know
really where
about
I thought
it?
You were going
to
go.
Look, I was going to and I balked right at the end because I don't think I'm very good at a Scottish accent.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
And it'll like morph into other accents and I can tell, but I can't stop it.
Right, today we're talking about Lulu.
Lulu? You mean Marie McDonald McLaughlin Laurie?
Yeah, the most Scottish name of all time.
Oh, man, I know. Right?
Marie McDonald McLaughlin Laurie.
I wrote it down, my hand got tired.
Usually we clown like British people, and this week there's just going to be a lot of talk about the Scots, and I love it.
I feel like I'm going to clown a few more people.
I love Scotland, love Scottish people, love that they held their own with with the Brexit thing and wanting out of the UK.
I don't blame them.
Bro, we feel ya. We live in Louisville. It is very unlike the rest of Kentucky. I feel like Louisville is kind of like the Scotland of Kentucky. I think that's a fair comparison.
Okay.
We drink a lot of whiskey here.
We do.
And we make a lot of whiskey here. And we're very culturally unlike everyone around us.
I guess. But we're not like London would be the economic engine. I don't think Scotland is necessarily the economic engine.
Yeah, that's true. But like, okay, ignore that part of the
metaphor.
I'm sorry,
we're going to go too deep into it. We're talking about Lulu.
Yes, we're talking about Lulu.
Who is a former Eurovision winner. I think this might be the first time we're going to talk about a Eurovision winner outright.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we're not talking about the Eurovision thing.
Outside of a Eurovision episode. Yeah,
yes,
I think you're right.
I think this might be it, even though that's not what we're talking about. But Lulu is an old Scottish singer. She came up in the 60s as a young, young lady.
Her first breakthrough was recording a cover of Shout, the Isley Brothers song, when she was 15 years old, which is hilarious.
I'm sure.
In 1967, of course, she starred in To Sir With Love and recorded
the theme.
This
is my mother's favorite movie of all time. Can I just rail on To Sir With Love for a minute?
Please, go ahead.
I've only been able to sit through it once completely.
I've never seen it, so I'm...
It's totally creepy. I don't get it. My mother loves it. I think because she's a teacher and she wants to like touch lives, but I don't see lives being touched here. It's very weird. The song is creepy, To Sir With Love. It's creepy. Are they like in love with their teacher? I don't get it. It's real gross, and I've always been confused by it. I'm assuming it's a British thing. I don't know.
So if you've heard of Lulu before, this is probably why, because she starred in To Sir With Love and she sang the theme, and it was a big old hit in across the pond and here.
Absolutely. Everywhere.
So let's talk about the controversy with her Eurovision win, which happened in 1969 when she was already famous from To Sir With Love. So what was the deal? Like, she had the same number of votes as other... I don't understand Eurovision like
you
do.
Yeah, like the scoring... I've never even fully understood exactly how they
broke
the tie.
Okay, I feel better now.
No, because it doesn't make sense.
Too.
Like, they had the old scoring thing. They ended up changing the scoring to prevent this, but it ended up being like a three or four-way tie. And I don't know, they determined it somehow that she was the winner out of the tie, and it pissed off a lot of countries. And
I bet it did.
But they basically prevented the scoring from ever becoming a tie again. But she ended up winning with the dumbest song ever, Boom, Bang, A Bang.
Yeah.
Which is so stupid. And I got a quote from her when they're asking her about it later.
Oh, okay.
Many years later, and they asked her about that song. They were like, you didn't hate that song? And she was like, I know it's a rotten song. I would do this in Scottish, but I can't do it.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
I know it's a rotten song, but I won, so who cares? I'd have sung Ba Ba Black Sheep standing on my head if that's what it took to win.
That's right.
And that's how I feel like Eurovision is. It's the ultimate Eurovision quote to me. They're like,
I'm all actually rotten. I'm actually glad that you brought that quote up, because Lulu to me is just, she's from this different era of show business where people were just famous. Like, it wasn't even like, oh, this is this person who does this one thing. I feel like now when people are famous, it's like Lady Gaga's famous because she's a songwriter. And then she got into movies and then did all this other stuff. But like, at your core, you're always going to think of Lady Gaga, pop music artist. This is from an era when people were just famous. And just famous people just did everything. Every famous person just did everything all the time.
And that's...
Lulu sang. She was in movies. She had her own TV show.
Mm-hmm. Appearing everywhere, and that's actually a good segue into kind of how you get to the album we're going to talk about, which is 1993's Independence, and she ended up firing.
I'm trying to imagine, like, I'm sorry to go back this.
Oh, boy.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, what would happen if somebody gave Post Malone a television show, and they were like, hey, act.
I'm trying not to vomit onto your microphone, Max.
Yeah.
I don't.
Anyway, yes. So what we're saying is Lulu is from a bygone era.
Yes.
And yeah, so as you said, this album is called Independence. It's from 1993. That's what we're talking about today. And it's worth noting that it's called that because or probably because, I don't think she outright said this, but it's pretty implicit that it's because she parted with her longtime manager a few years before this came out. She had been with the same manager since she was a little kid, and then they split ways in 1989, I believe it was. And so here, 4 years later, you have this record where Lulu is like... Unchained.
By the way,
Lulu Unchained.
He gave her her nickname, by the way, which is interesting, like when she was just getting started, because he was describing her as a Lulu of a girl, which I'm sure has a meaning somewhere in England, but I don't know what that means.
A Lulu of a girl. Okay.
A Lulu of a girl, which sounds gross. But a lot of what she...
Okay, while you're... I'm going to Urban Dictionary that
but
while
when
you're...
She got rid of her manager because what she went, she always saw herself as a singer, first and foremost. And she felt like she wasn't that anymore. She felt like she was known as TV person, as celebrity, as movie person, or whatever. And she wanted to get back to really, she wanted to switch her career to being back to, you know, as a recording artist. So that's kind of where this comes in, was her firing that. Well, is this a thing?
What have you learned it
from
is a thing.
The Brictionary?
No, well, this is the Urban Brictionary. No, just Urban Dictionary. Yeah, Lulu. It says that this is the top upvoted definition of Lulu. It says, the definition of an amazing girl, beautiful in every way, always goes out of her way to make you feel better. She genuinely cares about you. Her eyes can light up any dark day.
No, that's just somebody. They do this all the time for it people goes, named a certain thing. That's
no, but like some... go on, they, like more definitions if you go down. Girl of your dreams, absolutely perfect. A shimmering girl, synonym to beautiful, really? Gorgeous, magnificent, extraordinary. So I guess this is just a probably chiefly British expression that just means a beautiful, perfect girl.
I just figured that was some dude, you know, like, you ever go in there and look up somebody's name in Urban Dictionary and somebody's mad at a Melissa?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so like Melissa.
It literally, it's just
biggest
like...
bitch in the universe. Yeah, it smells like doo-doo.
Melissa, fuggly slut. It's so true. You search in... Now, well, god damn it. Now I want to look up Melissa on Urban Dictionary and see what it says.
I really hope it says fuggly slut.
Melissa, a very shy girl at first, but once she's comfortable with you, she can be the funnest girl to be around. See, that's not what that word
thumbs
means.
Thumbs down.
That's not a definition. Oh, wait. I'm going to look up Danielle now. This
no,
is
Jesus.
Fun. Danielle is the most amazing girl you'll ever meet. She has an incredible smile that will light up a room. This sounds oddly familiar.
I didn't write that.
Well, okay, it's the same definition as Lulu.
No. Was
scrolling
it really?
Down. No. Oh, I mean, it's okay. Just very similar.
Oh,
look, the second one. A beautiful girl with a beautiful smile. Always
go to
laughing.
Go to the angry ones.
I'm trying to find an angry one. These are all nice.
Are they
Danielle is the best person in the world. Danielle has an amazing sense of humor. Good God.
Where is it? Danielle's a...
Danielle's have
monster.
Danielle's have long brown hair and gorgeous brown eyes. All right, false.
Nope, wrong.
Thought, nope, yep, very wrong. Yeah, okay, no.
Maybe
nope,
they like deleted
angry.
All the mean ones.
They like all the Danielle. Dare I? Okay, let me. I'll do one more. I'll just look up Max.
Fugly slut, go.
Definitely the most unique and incredible person in the world. Truly beautiful inside and out, but not in a cocky way at all. This is not true. At all.
I feel like we're taking some sort of quiz on LiveJournal in like 2001. This is what this feels
well,
like right
I definitely
now.
Can't read this one, but I'll start it. It says, a name mostly known for people with humongo large, and we'll leave it at that.
Of course you'd read that one.
That's the second one. I didn't have to scroll far. Oh, actually, wait. I like this one. No definition for Max because no one can define Max.
No, I thought it was going to say, because no one cares. That would have been good.
No, that one is true.
Okay, so all right. That's very true. Anyway, that was our scientific look at Urban Dictionary.
Yes, that was people seeing what people write about people that they know with our same names on Urban Dictionary. Inspired
Remind
by
me to
Lulu.
Go through every name.
Inspired by that Lulu of a girl that
this
we now
I'll,
know is a real
this
thing.
This week I'll go through every single name on here and write Fugly Slut and hope people upvote it so it gets up there. Anyway. Back to business. What were we talking about?
We're talking about Lulu's 1993 album, okay. Independence.
No, yep. I'd rather talk about Melissa. Anyway, sorry. All business.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was funny. So this album actually did okay for her in her homeland.
Yeah.
It peaked at number 67 in the UK, but she did have a couple of good chart singles.
Yeah. And it's the reason I kind of wanted, I find it's an interesting little album to pop out, which is why I wanted to do this. But also, I don't know what I think of it. And I kind of just want to talk it out with someone because
sure.
I don't know what I feel.
So let's start with the lead single and title track, which is, of course, called Independence. This was
she wants it, yeah.
This was a number 11 hit in the UK.
Which is...
And the first of the cavalcade of music videos for this album, where you will see Lulu's one dance move. She
is
has
this all in front of the same screen. Did she just do one bit of studio time?
These videos are a total, what's the expression, case study in 90s music videos.
Okay.
The brightness is just cranked to 8,000.
Absolutely.
The chroma is just cranked up to 8,000. I mean, this like, so those goofy like Instagram filters that just make you look like you've smeared Vaseline all over your face. This was the era of just doing that, except with video effects.
When I like it.
Yeah. And I mean, her skin tone does not look human in any of these videos.
No. And
it's kind of alarming,
like,
but that
hair
was the '90s. Like why was everybody so obsessed with these weird oversaturated chroma effects in the '90s? I don't understand.
I mean, I like color. That's fine. Also, I'm not sure her hair appears as reddish here. I've never seen her with red hair before. I wonder if that's just the lighting is so
could be. Be the chroma thing.
Yeah. Anyway.
And she has one dance move, and it is the Rick Astley arms up here, shuffling from side to side like this.
Yes. And sometimes the camera sweep around her, so it looks like she's twirling, but really she's just kind of moving the opposite way of the camera.
Nope, she's got her arms up here and she's doing the Rick Astley shuffle.
Yeah, and it looked like it was the same background for every single one of these videos, so I think she just spent like an entire day.
Yeah, they probably shot them all the same day.
And they were like, well, you know, we have some other stuff we'll pop in there, some other B-roll we'll pop in, but here are all four of your videos.
Yeah, we'll get to some of these weirdo videos later on. But
get it.
This one, yeah, it's very, very extremely generic 90s video and kind of extremely generic 90s song. So it sort of fits.
Absolutely. And I don't know, I like it. It's funky, but it's literally Lisa Stansfield.
Yeah.
She is Lisa Stansfield.
This whole album, she's definitely going for the Lisa Stansfield sound.
Which I find very interesting, because the British people
She doesn't do it nearly as well as Lisa Stansfield does.
And I don't really even like Lisa Stansfield. I've never gotten it. What? British people love Lisa Stansfield.
I adore Lisa
she's
Stansfield.
Okay. I'd rather listen to Lisa Stansfield than this if I had to choose, but I've never been like crazy about it.
Dude, All Around the World is, that's like one of my favorite songs of all time.
I like when Barry does it.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
But I don't know. It's okay. I don't know. I've just never
seminal
really liked
90s.
It.
Lisa Stansfield at Showtime at the Apollo singing All Around the World, and the audience just going absolutely batshit over this little British school marm singing this extremely soulful song.
Well, they didn't get Lulu. That's why.
No. Lulu would have gotten eaten alive at the Apollo. I can tell you that. It's whatever. Like, if you like 90s house music.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think it's just unexpected. You expect it to sound different a little bit because it's Lulu, so I think it has that appeal. Maybe that's the appeal it has for me,
maybe.
But I like it. I would still choose Lisa Stansfield, if that makes you feel better. I never know what it's like on my own, but I'm taking a chance anyway. It may not be right, like some moves in the night, but I've got to do it my way. I want my independence. I want my freedom right now. I want my independence. I want my freedom right now. So we get to There Has Got to Be a Way, where this is a little bit more of a down-tempo soul funk thing. I will say the nice thing about this song.
Okay.
I think her voice works really well on it, because one thing about not having a teenager do pop songs is that you get kind of a nice, mature, kind of soulful voice.
Sure.
And I think it works really well on this song, and I think that it would not have sounded good if it weren't for her voice. It would have been much more boring.
Is it just me, or the lyrics get a little Jesus-y on this one?
Yeah, absolutely. I could totally see someone singing this in a gospel-y way.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see it. Just talk to me. Restless Moods. What a stupid title.
Yes.
It is a stupid title. The actual lyrics aren't as stupid as it seems like it's going to be, but I don't know. It's got a smooth little funky beat, and I will say that is a nice thing. I don't hate it, but I'm not sure I love it.
I think this just feels like it would have been in a sex scene in Red Shoe Diaries or something. It feels like 90s late night HBO sex scene music.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Okay.
Hard to believe that there's someone who really cares.
this is the same song as the one before it.
This was the second single off the record. Yes. It's called "I'm Back for More," and it's a duet with Bobby Womack.
Yes,
who again is just one of these people who is just famous.
Yeah,
and you can't even really point to one band, and you'd be like, "Oh, Bobby Womack was in this one band that you definitely have heard of." He just is one of these dudes that has been in the music industry for 8,000 years, and has produced and played on 8 million people's records. Yeah. And
he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He is.
He managed to do that.
And so he popped up here to sing a duet with Lulu because he's literally everywhere doing everything.
He's joined her in front of that 90s screen that she's...
Yes. and they're doing the sepia tone, which was another big 90s thing.
Yes, yes. Means it's artsy.
That's right. This was a number 27 hit in the UK.
Which is hilarious to me.
And this one I think is probably about the furthest she goes into like the soul and R&B side of things on this record, because she's kind of teetering. She's doing, you know, she's doing the Lisa Stansfield thing, so she's kind of teetering between house music and then straight up like R&B soul music.
Yes.
This is pretty far to the soul and R&B side.
Yeah. How about us? Max, how do you feel about this song?
Because my first note on it is, what the hell is this video even? It is just all these weird shots of like couples in a cafe. Everything is in a blue tone. I don't really understand what's going
couples.
On.
Yeah, also,
well, obviously,
no gay people. There is a woman.
Gay people didn't exist until 2015, Daniel.
There is a woman and her dog, which makes me feel seen. And like, it's, you know, I'm just like... But, you know, I really like that, but I didn't notice that, and it's a stupid video. But honestly, I'm going to read you verbatim my notes on this.
Please.
And this is my official stance. This is the corniest song I've ever heard, and I never went to hear it again.
Yeah, it's pretty corny. This is a cover of a song that was originally recorded by the group Champagne in 1981.
Yes. And they should have left it alone.
Champagne without an E on the end, by the way. Again, with the whole, like last time, with the deal misspelling things.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, street cred. Fourth single. This was the fourth single on this album, and it hit number 46 on the chart. So even British people were like, yeah, okay, pass.
But still number 46. That means it's all outsold something else that I'm sure was better.
That's true. I've never had a number 46 hit on the UK charts, so no hate. Until I Get Over You, I think, is the most Lisa Stansfield-esque song on the record.
Absolutely. And I wrote down, I'm like, man, I think I like it. I can't fully tell. I don't really like it now, but I feel like this is something I would have heard when I was 8 years old when this came out, and I would have loved.
Interesting.
Like, there were some albums I got that had songs like this that I really loved that now I would be like, this is stupid. I hate it. But I think I would have liked this one the most in the 90s.
Okay.
But yeah, I can't figure out if I like it or I hate it. This is one of those where I really just don't know.
This was the third single released on the record. It's called "Let Me Wake Up in Your Arms." This
is my favorite.
Really? This was my least favorite.
It's written by the Bee Gees.
It was written by the Bee Gees. And it has that damn cheesy-ass British swing beat with horns crap that I hate.
Which is usual whenever we talk about this stuff. I say I love it, and you say you hate it.
Yes. I'm sorry. I cannot get into this.
I like it. I don't know. It's way too corny. Maybe it's because it's the only one that sounds different. Maybe I think that helps. It makes me that, like it more. Okay,
that is true.
Like, it's you know, I would have liked it anyway if other songs sounded like it. But
I will say, though, we got to talk about the video here, because the video actually is a little bit different on this one. They like animated part of the video, and they kind of have her standing in front of what is obviously like a practical effect, like a hand-drawn mm-hmm. thing, like a real piece of art that they put behind her to look to like match the cartoon look.
Yeah.
And then they added cartoons on top of the video.
Kind of pretty cute.
Interesting.
It's different. Thank God. To put this on, but I just
what? Why did you?
Because the title was Rhythm of Romance.
Yes,
which is somebody thought that was a good idea.
I'll
that's
be honest,
the news there.
I you know, I always have the liner notes open when I'm like before I listen mm-hmm. to these songs, because I was not familiar with this record. This was 100% a Danielle pick, and I had high hopes. I thought this was going to be my favorite track because of who co-wrote it, and I don't know if you noticed that.
Who wrote it?
But the co-writer of this was Michael J., who, of course, did all of Martika's stuff and, you know, Alicia, and it just wrote all these, like, dance pop okay. songs that I love
oh,
from
yeah.
this era.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, a Michael J. song. This is going to be a jam. Nope.
No.
Wrong.
He was asleep that day. I don't know. It's, yeah, I really
yeah,
don't
either
like
that or he gave the co-writer guy way more creative control than he should have had.
Yeah, or he originally wrote it and somebody else kind of changed all of the good stuff out of it.
Right.
But really, again, my notes here. No, I will not.
That's
I
right.
Will not.
I will not. And in fact, a follow-up to How I Feel About This Album, I'm Walking Away.
well, she's walked her way back to Lisa Stansfield this time.
Yes. And actually, I was going to say,
okay.
This one is my favorite track on this record.
I think it's okay.
I think the synth voices in it are really cool. And it kind of almost taps into that 90s new age. It almost dips into the Enigma kind of thing a little bit. Yeah, and I'm, you know, I love Enigma. I'm here for that. So... yes.
Maybe that would have made the album better for you if they just started having people screech on their background. That's what you like.
Listen, you can bone to Enigma, you can't bone to this. And she was clearly trying to make music that you can bone to. Just saying. Enigma were not.
Oh, I'm sorry, you can't bone to the Rhythm of Romance. No, actually I'm okay with I'm Walking Away. I actually really like this song.
Yeah, this is a good one.
It's my non-Bee Gees favorite.
So Lulu, of course, would continue being famous after this, but this we just wanted to talk about this one little odd pocket of her career, because when you think of Lulu, and you know, certainly before I knew of this record's existence, when I think of Lulu, I think of To Sir With Love, ugh. And I think
of
know,
my mother,
saccharine, like, you know, young girl pop music, and this is very not that, mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to just kind of see, because it probably was the first time in her life when she was able to express herself in a way that she really actually wanted to,
and
which
was
is
probably
odd because she's like into her 40s at that point.
And it's probably since the 70s that she had done anything that was modern-ish.
Yeah.
You know, because this album is, whether you like it or not, or think it's cheesy or think that other people would have done it better, the execution, it's a modern album. It's 93 sound.
And I, you know, I feel like if you asked Lulu about this record today, I bet she is still probably proud of it and happy that
absolutely.
She did it.
Yeah. And it didn't hurt. She's still famous. She's still all over
very,
TV.
Oh, yes, very
in
much.
In England, not here.
Yeah,
I don't
in
think.
England. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've seen her.
No. I think American people know Just Her with Love, and that's about it. But yeah,
what if she's on the season of The Masked Singer?
She has been. Oh, man, that would be weird.
Nobody would get
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, that premieres tonight.
Oh, yeah.
On the day we're recording this, that
yes,
is.
Yes, that is true.
By the time this is out,
which, by the way,
several of the singers will have been revealed. But.
Yes. Yes, Lulu was the Jabberwock.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, man. Jabberwocky for Masked Singer season 4. Love it. All right.
I'm just going to be messaging you the whole time. I'm like, oh, shit, that's Lulu.
Yes. If you would like to tweet us your Masked Singer predictions, please do so. We're at Offbeat Tracks on Twitter.
Yes. And we also have a website where you can listen to all of our old episodes or this one again.
Yes.
It is offbeattrackscast.com.
Yes. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher.
So much stuff.
Or what's the Android one called? Google Play. I haven't had an Android phone in like 7 years. I don't remember.
Nobody does.
Okay.
I know people do.
Yes. Well, we're on the Android version of that as well.
We're on that stuff.
So please listen to us, subscribe to us, and thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we'll see you next time.
Yep.
Bye.
We will. Bye.